Today on Wings, the major goddesses of India.
Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Shakti Rupena Samsthita Namastasmai Namo Namaha.
O Devi, your energy personified. Salutations to thee, salutations to thee.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Vidya Rupena Samsthita.
O Devi, you are knowledge personified.
Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Shanti Rupena Samsthita.
O Devi, you are the very essence of peace.
Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Dayarupena Samsthita Namastasmai Namo Namaha.
O Devi, your kindness personified. Salutations to thee, salutations to thee.
Hello, I'm Indu Ramesh from Bangalore, India. Welcome back to our program on goddesses in Hinduism. My three friends are still with me. Vatsala Iyengar, broadcaster and researcher. She has four books to her credit about legends, jewels, and sacred objects used in temples. Like I said before, she is just the right person for our program. I also have Gayatri Balu, an attorney who has specialized in corporate law, keenly interested in theater and music, both classical and folk. Anaparna Devgiri, a human resources specialist with a multinational company, again deep into classical music and Indian philosophy. Last time we spoke to you about the role of village goddesses in Hindu India. Now, let us tell you about the more sophisticated goddesses and how they came into being. Over to you, Vatsala.
Some 3,500 years before the beginning of the Christian era, Vedic age prevailed in India when natural forces like wind, rain, fire, sun, and the moon were considered to be gods. Along with them, the goddess of dawn, the goddess of night and goddess earth were praised for their powers, but they were not actually worshipped. Their powers lay in the background, though the farmers in the numerous villages continued to worship them. It was actually by the beginning of the Christian era that several goddesses with higher powers came into being.
What was the reason for this, Vatsala?
In the earlier age, people had not understood the role of the man in producing a child. But once they realized that a man is needed for this to happen, the male god was introduced as the lover of the goddess, and later on he became her equal. And still later on he gained an upper hand over her. The physical strength and the exploits of the male gods acquired more importance, and they tried to push the female to the background. However, it is to be remembered that the mother goddess cult was not wiped out, as she was still the deity for a majority of people cultivating the land. So, in order to include all sections of the society, the village mother goddess became the mother of the entire universe and was included amongst the major deities.
The rise of the sophisticated goddess has a social background also, isn't it?
Definitely, yes. Different communities believed in different goddesses, and there had to be a cross-fertilization of various beliefs to unify people about goddess. This became necessary as Hinduism tried to embrace all sections of the society, that is to say, farmers worshipping mother goddess, kings and rulers who prayed for victory in the battlefield, traders who wanted prosperity, and so on. The Orthodox Brahmins who believed only in male gods had also to be brought onto a common platform. So, to please all these sections, the qualities of many village goddesses were retained, but they were upgraded into higher deities. So, what you see in the towns and cities today is a blend of both lower and higher goddesses. This was also an effort to relate the local goddess to a wider range of devotees due to the migration of the rural population to the cities. As a result, we find Mariamman temple in metro cities like either Chennai or Bangalore.
But the higher goddess was not offered meat and alcohol. Instead, she was worshipped with fruits, flowers, and vegetables.
Talking about mother and the high place given to her, I am reminded of a hymn for mother written by the 8th century saint Shankaracharya. Vidhera jnanena dravina virahena alasataya Vidheya shakyatvattava charanayorya chutirabhut Tadetat kshantavyam janani sakalo dharini shive kuputro jayeta kvachidapi kumata nabhavati. The meaning, hey Devi, due to various reasons such as divine interventions, my own misfortune, etc., I have been away from your blessings. Forgive me, O Mother, the one who blesses everyone. A bad son may be born, such as me, but never does a mother is seen who is bad. On to you, Aparna.
Wealth is a goddess by name Lakshmi. She is the wife of Vishnu, and it is said that by lighting an earthen lamp in praise of her, she removes all darkness and grants wealth and prosperity to the devotee. Diwali, the festival of lights, is dedicated to Lakshmi, when farmers thank her for a good crop. Traders close their old accounts and open new ones to welcome more wealth and prosperity. Many Lakshmi devotees stay awake all night with their doors and windows open, so that the goddess enters their home freely and blesses them with prosperity. However, if she abandons them to poverty, she is called fickle-minded. Women in eastern India invoke Lakshmi on a heap of new grain and believe that her appearance on the auspicious day creates abundance. Cow dung that is used as fertilizer is also arranged as a heap, and farmers bow before it, praying to Lakshmi for bounty.
Bhagyata Lakshmi Baramma Namam Mani So Bhagyata Lakshmi Baramma
ಹೆಜ್ಜೆಯ ಮೇಲೊಂದ್ ಹೆಜ್ಜೆಯ ನಿಕ್ಕುತ ಗೆಜ್ಜೆಯ ಕಾಲಿನ ನಾದವ ಬೀರುತ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಸಾಧು ಪೂಜೆಯ ವೇಳೆಗೆ ಮಜ್ಜಿಗೆಯೊಳಗಿನ ಬೆಣ್ಣೆಯಂತೆ ಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮೀ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ ನಮ್ಮಮ್ಮನಿ ಸೌಭಾಗ್ಯದ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮೀ ಬಾರಮ್ಮ.
This is just one of the many songs welcoming Lakshmi into the house. In traditional families, the daughter is always named after Lakshmi or any one of her 1008 names with the hope that the daughter brings good fortune to the household.
Lakshmi is described as a beautiful goddess, as lustrous and as soothing as the moon. She wears ornaments of gold and silver and is seated on a lotus. Her skin is as radiant as the lotus, and in most of the depictions, she is flanked by a pair of elephants. I would like to add here that elephants in India are a symbol of dignity and royalty. Lakshmi is also worshipped in 8 different forms, and they are:
as Rajya Lakshmi, she is the companion of every ruler.
As Jaya Lakshmi, she is the goddess of victory.
As Veera Lakshmi, she is courage personified.
As Griha Lakshmi, she is the devout wife and mother who takes care of her household.
As Bhagya Lakshmi, she is the goddess of good fortune.
As Yasho Lakshmi, she symbolizes fame.
As Dhanya Lakshmi, she bestows good crop and grants abundance.
As Santana Lakshmi, she ensures progeny.
When Vishnu becomes the sun, Lakshmi becomes the lotus. When he becomes Rama, she is Sita. When he is Krishna, she is his beloved Radha. Thus, whenever the male god changes his form, Lakshmi also does the same. When he becomes the word, she becomes its meaning. When he is knowledge, she is the intellect. When he is the creator, she is nature. She is the earth and he is the upholder. If he is love, she becomes bliss.
According to saints, apart from being a popular goddess, Lakshmi plays an important role relating to the worship of her husband Vishnu. If there is any lapse on the part of a devotee in praying to Vishnu, he pleads to Lakshmi to act on his behalf and she argues before Vishnu. O beloved, be kind towards our children and forgive them, otherwise you will lose your repute as the compassionate one. To entice the Lord further, she enchants him with her loving eyes and at times loosens and lowers her dress also.
Education or knowledge is a goddess called Saraswati, but very few temples are built for her. She is worshipped at home on special days and invoked to dance on the devotee's tongue. There is also a description of the jingling sound of bells on her ankles, flowers in her hair, and sacred red dot on her forehead. Even today, students pray to her before their exams and also when children begin to learn their alphabets.
Varavina mrudu pani vanaruha lochana rani surachira bambaraveni suranuta kalyani nirupama shubha guna lola nirata daya pradashila varada priya ranganayaki vanchita phaladayaki sarasija sanajanani jaya jaya jaya.
This prayer to Saraswati is the first song children learn when they begin their music lessons. In South India, just about every little girl is taught classical music. Many of them continue singing or playing an instrument, and every woman can sing a prayer, a lullaby, a marriage song, or even a folk song. Vatsala, please tell us something about the other important goddess, Parvati.
Parvati is Shiva's wife, and her name means that she lives in the mountains. All legends on her tell us that the goddess took birth to produce a child for Shiva, who was an ascetic, who smeared himself with ashes and was also of wild behavior. To lure him into the world of marriage, sex and children, Parvati undertook a severe penance, such as sitting in the middle of a fire in the scorching heat of summer, living on air and leaves only, standing on one leg for years, and so on. Shiva was finally coaxed by the other gods to marry her, and he agreed. After they were married, they lost themselves completely in having sex, which continued non-stop for a very long period. Their lovemaking was so intense, it shook the universe, and as the other gods got scared, they interrupted the love act. Due to this sudden interruption, Shiva's semen scattered in 6 places all over the river Ganges. This was collected by wives of 6 sages, and when they brought it together, a 6-faced son called Shanmukha was born. A second child created from the sweat and dust of Parvati's body is Ganesha, the elephant god, and this foursome complete the family picture of a happy living. Shiva and Parvati quarrel often, as she is displeased with Shiva's manners, his irresponsibility, his uncombed hair, his lack of proper dressing, and his wandering as a homeless beggar. When she complains that they have no permanent house to protect against rains, Shiva takes her to the highest mountain peak above the clouds, where it does not rain at all. Even a game of dice ends in a fight, and Parvati always has the last laugh. Once, an angry Shiva calls Parvati as Kali, the dark one, and outraged at this insult, she undertakes penance and becomes Gauri, the golden one. In spite of all these quarrels, Parvati always highlights the role of a wife in domesticating a wayward husband and the interdependence between a husband and a wife to lead a happy life.
Perhaps this is a way of telling people that a lot of adjustment is needed in married life.
Coming back to our main story, as against Parvati, her incarnation Durga is a highly popular goddess and called by the general name of Shakti. She is the symbol of immense power. There is a very fascinating legend about Durga, according to which a buffalo demon called Mahisha was harassing the whole world. The power of male gods was not strong enough to kill him. So, they created a very beautiful female formed by the burning fire of anger on their own faces. This filled her with a golden glow.
Ayagiri Nandini Nanditamedini Vishwavinodini Nandinute Kirivaravindya Shirodini Vasini Vishnu Vilasini Jishnunute Bhagavati Heshiti Kanta Kutumbini Bhuri Kutumbini Bhurinute Jaya Jaya He Mahishasuramardini Ramyakapardini Shailasute Jaya Jaya He Mahishasuramardini Ramyakapardini Shailasute.
Jewels for her were given by the other gods.
All the lords of the universe gave her their total energy.
The sun and the moon became her eyes.
Shiva gave her his trident.
Vishnu gave her a powerful disc.
The god of fire presented a spear. The lord of the skies a thunderbolt. The lord of death, his own staff of death. And the lord of rain, his noose.
Hence, she is shown as a goddess with 10 arms, with each arm holding a weapon.
Armed with these weapons, Devi roared with laughter, and the whole atmosphere was filled with her terrible noise. All the worlds quaked and the oceans shook. The earth trembled and the mountains tottered. And as if in childlike play, she roared on her lion that was tossing its mane and roaring dreadfully. And just as a fire burns down everything it touches, she waged a fierce battle for 9 nights against the evil demon and killed him. All the jubilant gods cried, "Glory be to the great goddess!" Pleased with their devotion, the goddess assured them that she will appear again and again to set the world order right.
Sure enough, she is omnipresent. But special prayers are offered to her in the month of October, and the festival is called as Navratri or Durga Puja. These 9 nights are observed with a lot of tradition by all Hindus. She is also known as Mahisha Mardini, the killer of Mahisha, the buffalo demon. This picture of Durga slaying the buffalo demon has dominated Indian art and culture for centuries and can be seen as bronze, stone, metal, mural and watercolors, copper and gemstone objects.
Kali, Chamundi and other fierce goddesses who killed many demons single-handedly, and in fact all village goddesses, are considered to be the manifestation of Durga.
However, Kali is extremely fearsome. She has a very dark complexion, has disheveled hair, and is usually naked. She wears human skulls as necklace, children's dead bodies as earrings, and serpents as bracelets. She has long fangs, claw-like hands, and has blood smeared over her lips. She is usually shown either in a battlefield, getting drunk on the blood of her victims, or in a burial ground surrounded by jackals and evil spirits. Only in Bengal, she is worshipped during Diwali and receives blood offerings. There are many narrations about Kali's wild behavior with Shiva, and in sexual intercourse, she is mostly shown above him. Despite all this, she is still hailed as mother.
Let us talk about Sita, Lord Rama's wife. Today in India, Rama is one of the most popular deities, and Sita as his wife is also worshipped by millions of devotees. The two are hailed as the divine couple, and Sita is the perfect model of wifely devotion. However, she is always his consort, and though she is honored with him, she is not treated as his equal. She does not have a temple for herself, and she is always seen only next to her husband. The Hindu society places a great value on the fidelity and steadfastness of a wife towards her husband, and Hindu women are taught from a very young age to be obedient to the husband and place the welfare of the family above everything else. Thus, although Parvati, Durga and Lakshmi have important roles in Hindu system of worship, it is Sita who is the most popular and beloved figure for wifely devotions and chastity.
have already told our listeners that in India, rivers are held very sacred and considered to be goddesses. Ganga, or the Ganges, as known to you, is the most prominent among them, and she descended to earth from the heavens. There are many myths about her, and one of them states that her water purifies souls. She is associated with all major Hindu male gods, and people believe that this river spreads all the sacredness and potency of these male gods on the earth in a liquid form. A dip in the Ganges is said to wash off all the sins accumulated in life, thus paving the way for a smooth journey of the final liberation of the soul from the body. Ashes and bones of dead bodies are also scattered in Ganga. Once, a robber was sentenced to death and his flesh was eaten by the jackal that had drunk the Ganges water. This purified the robber's crime, and hey presto, he went straight to heaven. At Haridwar, near Delhi, Ganga enters the fertile plains of North India, and as the evening sun sets in, hundreds of earthen lamps with flowers are set afloat in the river to seek her blessings. Even foreigners are enchanted by this divine scene.
Mata Amma Devi, she is the great goddess of India.
She can be dark-skinned or a fair one.
She can be just a plain stone or an exquisitely carved image.
She can be in various forms.
She's one. She's also many.
She can be called Mariamma or Durga or Lakshmi or Parvati or Shakti.
She may be found in fields, under trees, near village wells, in one's own home or in a temple.
With folded hands, she is thanked, she is adored and prayed to.
She is the great goddess of India.
By whatever name she is called and by whatever form she is worshipped, the goddess is the energy of the whole universe. Maybe we need a campaign to make the world aware of what the position of woman was and how goddesses who came to the rescue of the society are relevant even today. For me, for you, and for all the women of the world, we need to remember that the goddess is the embodiment of all we need to be proud about as a woman, as a person in control of her life. I'm sure that you will agree with me. To end this program, I would like to say thank you, Vatsala, for your extensive research on this topic. Gayatri and Aparna, you have done a wonderful job. Thank you. That really was some very good singing. The recording of this show was done by M.R. Ramamurthy, and I am Indu Ramesh from Bangalore, India, signing off for Wings.
Our email is wings@wings.org. Website, www.wings.org. The Wings Sound logo is from Livana's album, A Circle Is Cast. Special thanks to Suzette Cullen and to Genevieve Vaughn, author of 36 Steps Toward a Gift Economy. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.